Is this officially the end for Teresa and Jacqueline? It's the Real Housewives of New Jersey, Season 7, Episode 5, Dinner Interrupted, starting right now.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Excitement, professionalism.
Hello, AfterBuzzers. Get excited, because the Real Housewives of New Jersey after show here at AfterBuzz TV.
I have epilepsy.
We're talking about tonight's episode and more. I'm your host, Grant Rutter. I'm just going to rants on Twitter. And tonight, joining me,
this is Fern Ronay. You can find me at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y.
Hi, I'm Annabelle, and you can find me at AdderallandCompliments.com.
And here we are. Very good. Let's talk about tonight's show and what happened in the episode. Let's start off with Melissa. Inviting Teresa to go and watch her kids walk in the New York fashion show. And she invited Melania, who was the only kid in the room at the time. And so I was like, what about the others? But only Melania got an invite.
And I thought she was calling to invite Teresa's kids to be in the show, too. Yeah. Was like, no, you can just observe my kids with the stars.
Yeah, because it was like last year, like we did, like she was like filling her in. Like last year, we were all in it. And now this year, do you want to see us be in it?
Right. It was so weird.
And it's like old school Teresa. If this was a couple years ago, she would have been throwing a fit that her kids weren't in the fashion show.
Mm-hmm. And she would have reminded Melissa that her kids were in the fashion show in the past.
Yeah, were the original the fashion show. Yeah. Wasn't it the Ladybug fashion show?
Oh, yeah.
Ladybug charity.
Oh, yes.
You know, that's on par with breast cancer Susan G. Coleman. You know, they're both equally successful. If we ever heard of Ladybug again, I never have.
I have not, to be honest with you, but yes. Then we flash forward to Dolores' dog passing, and this is we commented that there were a lot of kids in this episode. All the kids were out driving story in this episode.
It's becoming Real Housewives, like not like Real Housewives, which we want to see. It's like just Real Housewives driving their kid in a minivan, complaining they're on their phone too much. Yeah. The Dolores, who I adore,
yes,
like it's too real. Like her dog with kidney failure, and like the daughter who's in vet school having to administer like an IV bag, and it's like no.
It is too real.
This show is very real. I'm like thinking of this, and I got to look at the Real Housewives of Auckland, which all those women are awful. They're all mean and they're all bitches, and it's so over the top and so much more. It's not based in any of this. Like you'd never see one scene in tonight's episode in that show, and I find it a little bit more enjoyable. And
right,
I,
so it's good.
Yeah. I think it's.
And it's like
great.
For us to finally have our show back that the Olympics are not airing right now. Like Bravo, we were talking about, like if we wanted to watch the Olympics, we would turn on NBC, we would turn on ESPN if we wanted to watch sports. But Bravo, you know, viewers are not sports-like people.
Exactly. I'm sure Bravo's audience had no interest in the Olympics
whatsoever. The only like sport I want to see is like how many tables they can flip, how many bottles of wine they can drink, how many weaves can be pulled. Like stuff that I care about.
Stuff that matters.
And then it's like they finally put out a new episode and this is it where we're like, is this the B-roll? Did the editors get lazy and they're like, just put in whatever? Because it really felt like stuff that should be on the cutting room floor.
Yes. Yeah, we said that. Lost footage, secrets revealed.
Right.
So much kids.
Well, I must say, NBC pays my bills, so I love the Olympics and the Real Housewives in New Jersey.
So do we.
I have to say that. Whatever. It's all good.
But
I agree. I think one could argue that perhaps there are two different audiences.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but ultimately, here we are. I don't know.
It was a long 2 weeks, but we're back.
Yes. So we learned a little bit more about Dolores, the ex-husband, the kids. They're a very fit family. I mean, he was Mr. New Jersey. The kids are all in decent shape, I guess you could say. She then talked about wanting to renovate the house. She wants everything gray and white. And it seems like that they're going to have the home renovation storyline.
Wonderful.
Very common storyline on every series, on every franchise. Yeah.
But, like, let's, I think it's interesting, though. Let's comment about, like, her relationship with her ex-husband.
That's what's interesting. Mm-hmm. Why isn't there more about that? I want to know more about who did he cheat on her with? How'd she find out? Yeah. How did it all go down? When did they decide to finally get divorced? Why are her parents still talking to him? That's interesting. Yeah. I don't want to see her home renovation.
And he's going to foot the bill for some of this.
Right. So that's it's like my dynamic. Dream relationship where you're divorced, but, like, he lives in a different house. You don't have to have sex with him, but he pays for everything for you. That's, like, the dream. Right. And it's like, I love that, like, when you watch sitcoms and, like, people have been divorced, but they're still, like, best friends, you're like, that doesn't happen. But she's like, remember when you cheated on me? Pass the calzone. Like, they don't, like, it does not seem to bother them whatsoever. I'm like, what is this real?
And he has a serious relationship. He has a girlfriend. I wonder how she feels about him renovating the house.
Right.
That's what's interesting.
I really hope that the son Frankie is involved in the home renovations with many, like, shirtless, like, sledgehammer. Yes. Can we start a countdown of when he turns 18?
Yes, can we? There has to be a clock somewhere.
I feel like how all the, like the guys had, you know, the countdown for, like, Taylor Swift and, like, the Olsen twins. Yes. It's like, now it's our turn to perv out. It's like, Zac Efron has already become of age. And normally I do not go for anybody younger or thinner than me, so that counts out 99% of the population. But I'm making an exception for Frankie, because he's...
I'm happily married, but I'm making a Frankie gorgeous. Exception.
Well, I thought it was kind of Frankie's on your cheat list. He's on the...
Wasn't it kind of odd, though, that he had to get up in front of his family and show off his body?
Not at all. I need more of that. He's the only kid I want to see on that show.
Yeah.
Okay. And I feel creepy calling him a kid. I feel very Mary Kay Letourneau, but, like, he's the only offspring of a housewife that I want to see on the show.
He's the only interesting one at this point.
Well, we learned that Dolores owns a gym, and then I was like, oh, this all makes sense now.
Hopefully it goes more successful than a Cut Fitness with one Tamara Barney. But we saw the interior. It looks just as bleak.
Yeah, it was like Powerhouse Gym. I thought that was just like a regular gym. I didn't think, was it franchised? Like, I didn't think it was like a private, like, it wasn't like a boutique.
I think it just looks private because no one's there. So I guess it's incredibly private because you are the owners are in there. It's very, very private.
Well, what else happened? Melissa says that she's still close with Teresa, but she cannot disagree with her. So they're not that close yet.
I guess that makes sense. You have a close relationship if you can disagree and still not flip out on each other.
I think you like people who don't disagree with you. I know I do. Somebody who's just like, yeah, that's right. I mean, nobody does, but I would love it if somebody did say that to me.
I get along with both of my sister-in-laws, and we don't have disagreements. So actually, I take back what I just said.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think it would make sense if you just,
I mean, the relationship is very fragile, so of course they're going to have to just play nice.
Yeah.
I think Melissa's been so mature this season.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been a fan of her in all the other seasons. Like, I feel like being in that family must be a lot. Having to raise your three kids and then your biggest child is also the one that you have to have sex with and take care of. Like, he's more needy than any... Like, I feel like he's literally like an infant.
He is.
He's really a turnoff this season.
He is.
Yeah, I mean, his, like, misogynistic behavior and being a kid, like you said, really is like a child.
Like, when they were when they were at the dinner after, you know, the major fashion show of New York Fashion Week, they must have cut Anna Wintour out. She must have not signed the release. But they went out to dinner at, like, a, you know, 24-hour cafe after the show, and where they were eating, like, macaroni and cheese. And as he's sitting there, and what is it? Who's the little one?
Joey,
and he has, like, that little Tiny Tim moment where he's like, I love everyone at this table. And then, like, of course, like, you know, senior, like, I have too much poison in me. He's like, this is what I love. The two women I love most, you know, besides my daughter, my mom, you know, my wife and my sister, both paying attention to me, wanting to know. Because he was, like, going on. He's like, I had a 103-degree fever once. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, you know, like.
And it's so, all about him.
He's like, having both women pay attention to me. Like, oh, God.
He used to be lovable. I used to love him.
I used to, like, love their love because they were so into each other. Yeah. Now I'm just like, oh, he has, like, some weird, like...
Now I want him to shut up.
Yeah, he's very self-obsessed. even like just looking at what we've been given this last season, the last five episodes, with like him being so pissed that she's working, him not getting enough time to do his own work on his own projects.
One of the kids saying that when he has to drive them to school, he drives them to the wrong school. How many different schools can there? You have three children.
That was a past season. Yeah, I remember that from like a past season.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
I feel like the producers must have said to him, "Your storyline is going to be you feel neglected by your wife." You know. Sex-wise, home-wise, cooking-wise, and he just, he's like, okay, and just is running with it, and it's a little too much.
Maybe he's realizing that it's, he's not getting as much as he wants, so he's like, oh, well, maybe this isn't just a storyline. I don't know. Chris Lorita is still pining to have a drink with Joe, with Joe Giudice. Last week, or last episode, it seemed like he was kind of up his ass a little bit. And so this episode, they had a couple of moments, including the first scene where he's like, yeah, I just really want to get him back over here. Like, what is this? Like, just call the guy up.
Can you imagine just being stuck with Jacqueline? I mean, you want anyone to come over. He's like, please, anyone. I know he's about to go to prison. I need to suck up my time now. I mean, do they have that many other friends?
I know. Who knows?
They have 11 brothers and sisters. Yeah, his options are, you know, Juicy Joe or Caroline. It's just basically the same IQ and, you know.
Or Ashley, the makeup artist.
Yeah.
Speaking of makeup.
Yes. She should get it from here, because our sponsor this week is actually Beauty Box. Because if you love makeup and not leaving your house, like me, this stuff gets delivered to you every month. And each one has different, like, beauty products made by, like, the beauty gurus on, like, YouTube and everybody that you follow in the magazines. And it's, like, over $150 worth of products, and it only costs $30. So perfect for all the housewives, you know, price ranges, because it's all they can afford.
Good point.
You have an annual payment. And you pay the total cost of the entire year of boxes. And you can check out beauty.com. And we actually have a promo code for you. And it's BoxBuzz for 20% off of your subscription. That's really good, actually.
That is really good.
Yeah, and you pay it and you write it off and you don't have to worry about a monthly fee. You write it, and then you forget
about it and it shows up at your door and you're ecstatic.
Yeah.
I love mail surprises. That's like my version of like drunk texting when I wake up in the morning. I was like, yay, mail!
Exactly.
And this one you get, like Redken sea salt spray, which is good because I have flat Cher hair, so I definitely need some of that. And Smashbox brow, because everybody wants brows as strong as I have. And you have Candy Johnson's go-to brow product and NYX Ombre Lip Duo in Peaches and Cream. Trust me, you want to get that instead of I'm wearing Kylie's lip kit. Big mistake. Get this. promise you.
I like it. All right. One more time. Beauty Box.
It's Beauty Box. And we have the promo code, and use the code BOXBUZZ for 20% off.
Great. Sounds good. Thank you. All right. Let's talk about Siggy and her daughter and the phone situation that seemed to take up at least 20 minutes of this 40-minute episode.
Uh-huh. It's cheaper. Like, it took as much time to watch that scene as it would to go to AT&T and sign up a phone and sign up for the family, sign up for the family plan. It was insane. And it's like, I love Siggy. I adore her.
Too, yes.
But it felt like a Dr. Phil experiment, you know, when they follow them around, like, parents, you know, they can't get off their phones, you know, parents trying to connect with their teens. And it was just like a video montage of that, her talking to her kids about the technology addiction, her taking away the phones, it was just,
it was not interesting.
And it's like the entire time we're on our phones watching the scene because we're bored.
Exactly.
Where is her husband? Has her husband signed on the show?
I'm dying to meet him.
Yeah, I don't. Maybe he doesn't want to participate.
He might. I think he's a lawyer in New Jersey. Maybe he doesn't want to be part of it. I don't know.
But that's a total missing link.
Yes, I am dying to see them and their interaction. Because she's Jewish, he's Italian. That's like me and my husband. Yeah. And I'm dying to see their interaction.
Well, wait, I think next week, what are they having, Shabbat?
They're having Shabbat, yeah.
Yeah, so maybe we'll be there for
that. I'm curious if he participates. I know. But Siggy reminds me so much of Lisa Rinna, the first season she was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We loved her.
Yes.
And then we were like, she doesn't have a storyline, but we love her. That's so Siggy.
We need a little bit more from her.
Like, she's not doing anything, but we love her. Sort of like Chrissy Teigen. You're like, you do nothing, but we love it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
But well, I did feel bad for her at that dinner.
They went to a second diner, made an appearance in this episode. And
it's like Seinfeld, but not funny or interesting.
And it's like Beverly Hills, they went to Wally's. You know, it's like, and then over here, but it's okay.
It's like Jersey, that cell phone scene Jersey. Went on so long that I was more focused on the old Asian woman behind the kids. She was all I could look at. And she got to be on her cell cell phone. It was just like the scene went on for so long.
Yes, but we did feel that.
Everything
for her.
I love
because
it.
It's like it's just talking about cell phones. I like, know. God,
this one's got better things to do. You've got other things to do.
I got better things to look at.
No, like, but in the scene with Chris, Loretta in his office, she noticed the Jacqueline glamour shot in the back.
Well, and his little colonel. Well, it was very easy to notice the glamour headshot frame picture of Jacqueline because it's not like they have any product awards for little colonel. So he has to fill up that shelf space with something. Yeah.
Go back and look. It's funny.
It's a giant picture. The kids kind of made Siggy feel bad. He's like, well, we're on our phones when we're on you, but when we're with our dad, we can put them down. And then the son timed the mother to see if Siggy could sit there and not open her mouth for 2 minutes when he tried to explain his, you know, where he is in life or something like that. I don't know. I thought it was overall a cute scene, but it could have been boiled down to like 2 minutes.
I just felt so bad for her because even though she's a relationship expert and she should, you know, be able to handle, I don't know, you just assume she's able to handle any kind of family situation or marriage situation. And she started crying and I felt so bad for her because the kids were basically saying we have more fun with our father who we see twice a month. Like, you do everything for us. She seems like a mother who does everything for her kids.
A real Jewish mom, yeah.
Yeah, like really does everything for them. And
she requires
like,
so much attention. I think like whenever there's a screen, she's like, but the screen isn't on me unless you're watching my appearance on Wendy Williams. Look at me. And it's like, I love her. Yeah.
But when she's on Wendy, though, I have a very hard time with her.
Like, I love Siggy, but let them be on their phones. And she's so up. Her daughter's like, ask about, like, you have to get into a good college. Let me see your parents. And it's like, listen, we all know college is a scam, Siggy. Like, let her be on her phone.
Right.
It ain't going to make a damn difference.
We don't want to rely on a man for money. It's like, yeah, like everybody else in this cast. Trust me, it looks great. I mean, not these men find somebody who has money like the Beverly Hills crew, but it's like, seems to be working out for them. Is Gigi Hadid going to college? No.
Good point. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I always was curious. Like, I had a phone and stuff in school, but like, I didn't have to deal with any of that stuff. Like, I don't really remember being caught for anything. Like, I don't know. Like, nowadays, I guess everyone must just get detention for being on them because no one – I mean, I've looked at my phone throughout this episode once.
Oh, my God. So I'm a little older. Thank God they did not have phones when I was in – how old is she? 13?
Yeah.
I would have never made it through school because I'm on my phone constantly.
No, I barely made it through school, and I like had a T-Mobile Sidekick that could not get service to save its life. So,
and it's like, you know what? I think they just have to accept that people are going to check them.
Yeah,
you know, because if my phone vibrated and I was like at work, I mean, I'm going to turn it over. You know what I mean? I'm at work.
But that's the culture now. That's where you get news. And like I don't think technology is like. On its way out, Sig. Yeah.
She might want to get used to that.
Oh, well, whatever. What else? So Chris and Jacqueline are entertaining, and once again, another episode. And Joe and Teresa are coming over, and Teresa kind of catches up with the kids, which I thought was kind of awkward because didn't Teresa say something kind of against Jacqueline's kids? Or, like, she never checked up on Nicholas. She never asked the status.
Yeah, it was something like, it was something where I remember on a reunion where they were showing Nicholas kind of regressing and all Teresa could say was, that's Adriana's boyfriend. And they were like, shut up, it's not about you, like this poor kid.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. But but it's hard to see Nicholas on, you know.
Right.
He seems to be doing better, but we all agreed it's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard watching. In every different city. Whatever housewife has something wrong, like for them to like exploit it, like how Heather Thompson with her kid who like couldn't hear good or something, or like which was the one who had the terrible nail polish collection. Yeah, she's like, my daughter can't walk, and I was like, you live in a studio apartment, you should be happy she can't walk. There's nowhere to go to. But it's, I mean, she could walk. It's not like, you know. Right. But it was like when the husband was busy having an affair. But it's like, it's so terrible for these, like,
which one?
Why? It's for like, exactly. It's, that's, you know, a dime a dozen. But it's like every housewife like exploits their most vulnerable child, where it's like CJ, the perfect, you know, her 13-year-old son's like walking in the back, and it's like, it's sad when you're like, can you bring Ashley on? Like, it's sad when you're like, it makes me like less sad to watch Ashley talk. And it's just like,
yeah, it's really heartbreaking because when they showed the flashback and she said, oh, maybe they'll date one day, and who knows if he'll you know, it's so sad because you're like, you have a child and you have all of these hopes, and then who knows if he'll ever be able to have that kind of relationship. And it was so heartbreaking to see that.
It's so hard to watch and so sad. And it's like some kid who's already like so sensitive and like trying to like develop and like trying to like progress every day. And it's like you shove four cameras in his face and like a sound boom and everything. It's like, I'd be terrified as a kid.
That is intimidating. Yes. Yeah.
The only good thing is if people are watching who are in the same situation as like Heather or, you know, any of the other housewives. Yeah. If it gives them hope, that's good. Yeah. But it's a little
awkward enough, I feel, for all of those kids with Teresa being there, because the last time she was there that she referenced was in 2011. These kids don't really remember her. And I'm sure CJ has heard plenty of long conversations that Jacqueline has had about her. But, like, you know, it's kind of like that weird family friend, like your mom's friend from like college or something like that. And it's like, you haven't seen them in a long time. It's like, you don't really have anything to say to that
person. The forced conversation.
Yeah. And it's, then you've got children and it's like, they don't want it. They don't really, they would rather miss it. They'd rather be upstairs and not have to have the awkward encounter.
They would say,
it's
so, when I, the last time I saw you, you were this big. Isn't that crazy? And you're like, it's not crazy. It's just time. That's how time works.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's just awkward that the least entertaining couple are the ones who are always entertaining.
Yes.
In their house of brown. Literally everything in that house is brown.
Yeah, that house needs an updating.
They're like, we're going to match the color to your personality, Jacqueline. Brown. Crap brown is going to be the theme. It's going to be the decorator for the house. Like,
well, you pointed out that they look like a team. The husband and wife.
Oh, my God.
Jacqueline and Chris were both wearing navy ensembles like they were about to go to, like, a Sears portrait studio. It was just like, oh, God. And it's like that poor, like, what I was focused on, they had this poor King Charles Cavalier who was, like, stuffed in, like, what appeared to be, like, a cat crate. It was the smallest dog crate I've ever seen. And it's, like, the only dog that should be, you know, put in a crate. Listen, if Kingsley's allowed to run around Beverly Hills, you're going to put this poor King Charles Cavalier and not Melania in a cage? Like, come on. Like, it was just, that party, can't even say party, that dinner from
hell.
They didn't even get to dinner. They didn't get to antipasta.
I know.
So Jacqueline started off this conversation by saying, well, I really thought something was going to happen at the Envy party. Now, that's so weird. That's
just like baiting.
Yeah. It's been like, how come no one got in a fight last night? It's like, wait, what?
Honestly.
So, all right. So Jacqueline was already off on some weird energy, to say the least. Then they flash back to that scene that we've already seen almost every episode this season of that fight on the deck. And I'm laughing because we went and what did her name? Caroline shows up with a coffee.
Caroline shows up with like a culotta from Dunkin' Donuts. She's like, what's going on over here? I was like, you're just trolling people's backyards? It was just so like she came out of nowhere.
Yes. Like, I heard it's screaming. She heard screaming. They didn't even live in the same neighborhood, right?
In those giant backyards. You think it's like Sasquatch, like having to walk through and like her move it just like.
Well,
so what's going on over here?
And just so back all these years ago, Teresa says that she felt ambushed that moment. And Jacqueline says that all of her assumptions were true about her going to jail. Jacqueline just wants all of this affirmation, you know, she wants all this backing up that she was correct and that she knew. And then there was an article that came out and that Teresa claims at the time that article was like nothing that she knew of. It was just speculation. So there's clearly a disconnect. And my favorite line, perhaps of all the housewives this year, was when Teresa said, I did not pose for that jail article. She's like, I did not post that jail article. I've never heard anyone have to clarify such a statement. I'm just like picturing like her like in a black and white uniform, like I was like, am I going in? You know, like,
an article. And it's such a fancy way to call an Us Weekly, like
it's like a piece. Article. Yeah, right. A piece.
Which jail article was it? There were like a million.
I know, and they all were true. Yeah. They all were true.
Yeah.
Teresa feels hurt that Jacqueline would ask her that question, again, from 2011. And Jacqueline says that in her interview, her one-on-one, that she has that Teresa has not changed. And Jacqueline's like a little... I mean, Teresa's no saint, obviously, but Jacqueline's been pretty, like... off.
The fact that she's like, you know, you lied to me about your finances, and Teresa's like, I didn't know at the time, and it's like, I 100% believe Teresa when she says, I didn't know. Because I don't, like, I believe she doesn't know anything. So she's being honest when she's like, I didn't know. It's like, it's not her job. Like, Jacqueline, you don't. Like, what answers does she
exactly.
owe you? Listen, she couldn't even give answers to the government. What does she owe you?
Exactly.
Nothing.
Exactly.
It's like, she didn't take money from them. It's just so weird her, like, Jacqueline's, like, feels so entitled to, like, answers.
And that's exactly why these two will never get along, because Teresa feels like she owes Jacqueline nothing, and Jacqueline feels like she's owed the world.
She doesn't. Mm-hmm. She doesn't owe her anything. And the fact that Jacqueline called Teresa's like,
oh, my God. Yeah.
That made no sense to me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, she calls him to implicate him into being like, you told me not to trust her.
Yeah, because she said, that you know, it. She's like, you know, your brother was telling me that, you know, I shouldn't trust you. And Teresa's like, well, he told me that I shouldn't trust you. And so Jacqueline's like, well, should I call him? And she, of course, calls him on the speaker, and he magically picks up right away because he's not having sex with Melissa at the time or complaining that, you know, he's not able to. So he picks up, and it was like, felt like a scene from Mean Girls. Like, they're like, did you tell me not to trust her? It was just like so sad. Yeah. And it's like Jacqueline had no right to do that whatsoever.
He handles himself well on that call, though, because he was like, well, we were probably on a really bad place when I said that. But he should have called her out and said, why are you calling me?
Yeah. Like, we're good now. I'm good with my family. Like, let's. They keep saying they don't want to rehash the past, but then they're all they're doing.
That's the whole show for the last four seasons, guys.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then for Jacqueline just to be like, well, I was just calling just to make sure everything was okay. And we're like, yeah, that's. That's exactly why you called, to make sure everything wasn't going to be okay, so you have something for the rest of the season.
Exactly.
Well, then Teresa turned the tables, and she said that, well, you were going through legal issues, too. And then Jacqueline says, well, it wasn't a criminal case or fraudulent behavior. And so that was a low blow, Teresa's words.
Yes, and I agree.
Yeah, it kind of was. So Jacqueline says that she believed everyone, including Joe and Melissa, Joe and Melissa were putting out negative things against her, so she believed all that at the time. So again, more past.
It's sad when it's like, I'm watching Real Housewives of New Jersey, I'm like, it's like Homeland, I can't keep up. But like, I was honestly watching, I was like, I don't understand what does she owe you? I like, still don't understand what her problem is, besides like, you need a paycheck. Yeah. Like,
exactly. Well, like, in the whole, like, obviously she's doing
like, nothing's
it to
linked
have a
if you did, like, like a string theory chart. Nothing links to her of, like, what Teresa did at all. Like, it caused no problem for her whatsoever.
Right.
Keep in mind, Jacqueline wasn't even on the show the last season that we were on, like, 2 years ago, but she wasn't even on that.
Right.
I mean, I get that she wants to come to some conclusion about their friendship, but the conclusion is end it. Close the chapter now.
Exactly.
Teresa ran out of that house. She made Joe pull that wine as fast as he
Joe
could.
Joe brought, like, a wine cooler. Like, enough wine, like, brought a wine bottle for every month Teresa was in prison. It was the most wine I've ever seen somebody bring over somebody's house. And they seem to be having a ball in the other room. Joe told a hilarious story, which Chris could not get over. He was like, so I called an Uber, and I went up to the car window, and I said, are you my Uber? And it said, no. And Chris cracked
like,
up.
He was like, tell me more. He's
know,
so
he was
into
like,
it.
It was like he was the new Louis C.K. He was like, get out! That's the craziest story I've ever heard. And we're like, oh, that happens to us five times a day in L.A. Like, not a crazy story whatsoever. And he's like, I was having fun. Yeah. Like, the bitches always mess everything up. I was like, nice.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I mean, I feel bad. Like, if I could just say really quickly, I was on Teresa's side here, because I think what Jacqueline said was such a low blow that she said, at least we didn't file fraudulent bankruptcy. Like, if you're really a friend, do not remind your friend of their mistakes. If you're really friends, you forget the past. Teresa has to forgive, which she obviously hasn't. And Jacqueline has to not bring up your friend's mistakes. So they're both wrong, but I really was on Teresa's side. I would have stormed out of there, and I would never speak to her again.
I have no further interest in seeing these two repair this
friendship. No, none.
It's over. It's done. And now things are going to disintegrate with her and Melissa. Jacqueline and Melissa. So,
well, she just, I mean, Jacqueline, but she was terrible. Like, she completely, like, lured her into a trap and did, like, for no reason.
Yeah.
That was not called for whatsoever.
Yeah. Let's turn to some news and gossip real quick. I have a little story that I just want to share because it deals with something we like to talk about on the show, which is income levels. And this is an interesting article. It says Melissa's estimated to make $65,000 and Joe around $45,000. I didn't know the house husbands made money. So that, I don't know what you make of that. And also says,
how much does Frankie make?
I don't know. Also,
let's
they
start a collection. Says
that it's always like the worth, how much these people are worth. It says that these people are worth in the negatives. Joe and Melissa are worth in the negatives. It says that they owe $2.25 million on their mortgage from 07.
What?
And $250,000 to different creditors. So that could be why they never finished that on the house. And they had to go back to this one.
I read that they got like an adjustable rate mortgage on their first house. And that they did like a construction loan. So he could show it as like a spec. Like, this is what I build. And then a balloon payment came due and they couldn't pay it. But I could be wrong. Well,
That would make sense. Especially if you look at the timeline. That probably happened around 08. A time period, yeah.
From what I remember.
Interesting. Well, in the meantime, you can keep up with us. Please leave some comments below. Give us a thumbs up because there's no reason not to. And please keep up with us on all social media. Annabelle, where can we find you and what are you doing?
You can find me. My blog is AdderallandCompliments.com and I do reality recaps and it's also the name of my podcast.
And I'm Fern Ronay, and you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Fern Ronay, R-O-N-A-Y. And you can check out my website, FernRonay.com.
And you guys can find me over on Twitter at Grants_Rants. And you can find my podcast, Grants Rants Hollywood Talk, on all major platforms. And everything is up on YouTube, so it's very easy. Once you're done with the show, go over there and check it out. That'll do it for us from the Real Housewives of New Jersey.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to
the views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.